Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just humbly want to pray for those who are on their way, that you would help them. We pray, Lord, for your Spirit to be upon us this night. Father, we acknowledge our struggles. We acknowledge, Lord, the difficulties, but most of all, we acknowledge you. And you are greater in us than he that is in the world. And Father, you are bigger than our problems. And you are greater, Lord, than our infirmities. You are stronger than all our weaknesses. And Heavenly Father, we just want to tell you, and we're not boasting, we just simply want to tell you that in spite of everything, we are here. And we want to hear your voice. And we want you to speak to us. We are your children, Lord. We are empty, most of us, Lord. We're just crying out for food. Father, we just need more of Jesus. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. We want to be better men and women than we are, Lord. We want to be closer to you than we are. Our hearts go after you, Father. And we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon us. We pray for, Lord, because it's not words we really want, Lord, it's you. And we want to see you. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the privilege of being able to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. And Lord, some of us have a deep need tonight, and we really want to get close to you, Lord. We really want to know your hand upon our lives, as we remember how David said that you would bless us as you used to. And Father, we have been talking about things here tonight, and we humbly pray for the glory of Jesus, who said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But Father, we want to tell you we can feel the heat of hell. We want to tell you, Lord, we see the gates bending. But Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would be magnified this night. Lord, I pray for this simple talk that I want to give. So simple, Lord. But I pray that it'll touch somebody's heart. And I pray, Lord, that someone will get something out of this. And that, Lord, it will get a strength in their soul. And that, Lord, there will be a spiritual determination born in the heart. We ask in Jesus' name for that anointing. Amen. Psalm 119. We've been talking about the Word of God. In verse 97, Oh, how love I thy Lord is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I just want to bring a short meditation on something that David said here in verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. You know, David is the one who gives us such a great example of how to seek the face of God. I read his Psalms almost every morning myself personally, and through them I learn how to pray. And I would say that there's nothing in the Bible that teaches us more about prayer than these Psalms. But here he's telling us how he can keep the word of God. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Now, in the scriptures, when it talks about the feet, it's actually talking about your affections, believe it or not. You know, Solomon said, keep your foot when you go into the house of God. It's keep your emotions, keep your heart, keep your thoughts. And when we talk about God directing our steps, we actually mean God doing something in our lives and changing our attitudes and changing our hearts. And the feet soon follow the heart. But he says, I have refrained my feet. I've brought my emotions and my thoughts from every evil way that I might keep thy word. And just while I think of it, you could say that, well, hang on, isn't David the man that sinned with Bathsheba and killed Uriah? I'd say, yes, that's right, that's the man. You mean he's the man that's saying this? Yes, he is. Because when we view any man, we have to look at their whole life, and we have to consider what God is trying to teach us through that man. Now here, in the case of David, for example, he committed that grievous sin against God. But that was not the practice of his life. That was not what David... You can't say, well, David was an adulterer. Because, for example, we only have this one illustration of him doing this. And you can't say that he is a murderer. Because what we mean when we say somebody is like that, we mean this is the practice of their life. This is the way they live. This is the kind of attitude that they have. David thinks he can go around and do whatever he wants. No, that's not true. No man ever grieved more over his sin than David did over his. And so now he's saying, I refrain my feet. I turn my feet from every evil way that I might keep God's law. I'll give you an illustration of the difference between, and when I'm talking about this, I'm telling you straight, I'm not wanting to talk about David. I want to talk about you and about me. I want to bring the scriptures down to where we live. And the point is that here I will describe for you, and we've got hundreds of these in our churches, here I will describe to you the kind of people that David was not. Because David was not a practicing sinner. David was not a man that was always falling into sin. David was not a man who wanted to sin. The difference between this man and many others, especially today, we have a problem in the church, because people say they are Christians who are not Christians. And while their profession of Christianity may be able to stand in the church where they are, it cannot bear the examination of the Word of God. Now, I'll give you an illustration of a difference between a Christian and someone who's not a Christian. For example, you take the matter of poison. If poison gets into a man's body, what does he do? He fights against it. He tries to get rid of it. He doesn't want it. So he's totally against this. Now, there's the Christian who doesn't want sin. Sin comes into his life. He sins. But he doesn't want it. It's not the habit of his life. It's not the way he wants to live. He wants to refrain his feet from doing evil. But he does this sometimes, but he's getting rid of the poison. And he goes and he cries out to the doctor. He changes his diet. He does all sorts of things to get rid of the poison. Now, there's a snake. A snake gets poison inside it, and it's happy. It's delighted. It's not trying to get rid of the poison. It actually wants more of the poison. And that's the person who is comfortable with sin, is not fighting their sins, is not trying to get rid of sin, is not trying to refrain their feet from evil. They are comfortable as long as you leave them alone, as long as you say they are a Christian. And if you say to them, well, Christians read their Bibles, they will read their Bible. I have people that everybody knows if you come near me, I'm going to ask if you've been reading the Word. And I've actually had young people tell me, I read the Bible before I came to see you because I knew you were going to ask me. Well, that's not going to do you any good. And I'm going to pray because you're going to ask me to pray. So you start composing a prayer in your head. Now, this is the kind of thing. We've got to differentiate between the man who's been poisoned, which is all of us, and the serpent that loves the poison. He's not trying to get rid of it. And so the man, and every one of us, I'm telling you that every one of us in this room, we struggle with something in our lives that we got from Adam. Well, something in our lives that we developed. If you don't believe me, when you fall back, or we, when I say you, I mean we, but when we fall back, on the scriptures and on prayer, these things begin to grow in our lives again. For example, you take somebody mentioned television. Well, if you're really in the Word of God, you watch television sparingly. You're careful what you watch. You're careful what you see. And you will give up a movie halfway through if there's something in it that you object to. You say, well, I didn't know this thing was going that way. And you switch it off. But when you're not in the Word, your heart is not sanctified, you kind of think, well, it'll change soon. It'll be okay. And you find yourself getting full of the world. There's no way in this world to be separate from the world except to be close to God. Now, the problem we have, and this is an enormous problem, the problem we have is that everything around us is against God, even the good things. Everything's against God. For example, even the timetable that we set ourselves is against God. We live as people who don't consider God. By that I mean we structure ourselves, we're so busy, we never factor in our times with God, our seasons with the Lord. We're all the time running according to the clock. And that's because we're not refraining our feet from every evil way. Now notice another thing. He says here, every evil way. Let me tell you, beloved brothers and sisters, you will never, never, never conquer sin in your life unless you are against every sin. Every sin. If there's one sin you're comfortable with, one sin you will tolerate and you call it weakness. You know, people say, well, after all, I'm human. Are you really? You're supposed to be in Christ. You're supposed to be a new creature. You're supposed to be a child of God. Now, these things, if there's anything, and look, I fight this because I say to the Lord, Lord, you mean I'm trying to make excuses for this? You mean this is what I really want in my deepest heart and I'm not wanting to give it up? Lord, make me willing to be willing. Lord, speak to me. Show me. I want to tell you, I'm making a statement, Lord. I am not going to allow anything to rule my life except Jesus Christ. Now, that's where you start, and that's what you say. And that is something Satan will fight with you about. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Now, why is he doing this? Why is he doing it? He says here, that I might keep thy word. That I might keep thy word. I keep saying this. We keep talking about people in the Word of God. Are you against sin? Are you living a holy life? How come you're neglecting the Word of God so much? You're not keeping a holy life for a reason. You have no reason. And you're not keeping a holy life. Because the more... Now, don't you misunderstand me here tonight. I'm talking about the Word of God, but I'm not talking about the Word of God. Because I'll tell you why. Our objective is not God's Word. Our objective is God. God Himself. As far as I know, when we go to heaven, we're not taking our Bibles with us. The most valuable physical possession that I have in this world is this Bible, which has been with me for many years, and a lot of my heart is written into it. But one day, it's not going to be opened, not by me. It'll be all gone. But what am I going to take to heaven? I will take the knowledge and the experience of the great God of heaven that He gave to me through obeying that word, through reading that word, through letting it saturate my soul, through letting it make me clean, for letting it describe Jesus Christ to me and then bring me to the place where I really want to see Jesus. I don't want to hear about Him. I want to see Him. I don't want to just know about Him. I don't just want to know that Jesus is holy. I want to see that holiness. When you come to the Word of God, I was looking at a verse today in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 22nd verse, where it talks about having a conscience. Let me just read it to you. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to God with a true heart. What's a true heart? A true heart is a heart that has got it separated from an evil conscience. The body is washed, or the life is washed, with the pure water of the Word of God. All these things are here. It says here, assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You can't have faith if you've got an evil conscience. You've got to deal with the conscience. What's wrong in your life? What's wrong in your conscience? If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart, and He knows all things. I was reading today in the book of Job, the 31st chapter, and you know that Job is the oldest book in the Bible, that Job was written before the book of Genesis was written. And here's a remarkable thing, because remember, we talk about the great saints of God. Noah, he sinned against God. He got drunk, and he sinned against God. Now, I don't understand why the New Testament says that Lot is a righteous man and that he vexed his soul, but Lot sinned against God too. David, as I've already mentioned, sinned against God. Abraham sinned against God. He lied about his wife. All these things are there, but these people do not practice sin. Now, Job is a man like this. Job, some people say that Job sinned. I find it difficult to find Job's sin, but some people, theologians, say that he did. Now let me read to you from the Word of God Job's attitude to his daily life and his walk with God. This is what Job says. He says in chapter 31, I'm not going to read the whole, I'm just going to pick out a few bits. I made a covenant with my eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? Verse 5, if I have walked with vanity, or if my foot has hasted after deceit. You see, this is what he's saying to God. He's talking to God, remember. Have I been vain? Have I been in vanity? Have I gone after deceit? In verse 9, if my heart has been deceived by a woman, if I have laid wait for my neighbor's wife. Verse 9, if I did despise the cause, verse 13, if I did despise the cause of my maidservant or my manservant when they argued with me. Verse 16, if I have withheld the poor from their desire, I knew what these poor people wanted and I stopped them from getting it. Verse 19, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or poor because they had no covering. If I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw that they needed help. If verse 24, if I have made gold my hope, my goodness me, a lot of Christians could look at this one. If I have made gold my hope, or if I have said to the fine gold, you are my confidence. Verse 26, if I beheld the sun when it shined and walked after that those creative things. Verse 29, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil was found in him. Verse 33, if I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my heart. You see, look how this man looked at his life. Look how he went across all these things. The way I treat my servants, the way I look at my enemies, the things that I do with the poor, my attitude to covetousness, all these. What is this man telling us? He's telling us this is how you thoroughly get right with God and you stay right with God, like Job did. And this is a wonderful thing. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. You know, if you said to me, well, okay, what's the homework? I'd say to you just very simply, look at everything in your life and examine it and see if there's any evil in it. And if it's evil, turn away from it. But you know what? It's no good being empty. You've got to be full. Turn to the Word of God. Turn to the book. Turn to the Word. I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word, that I might know. And you know what he said here? He said, this word has made me wiser than my teachers, wiser than the old folks, wiser than my enemies. Why is he saying this? Why was David wiser than the others? I'll tell you why. Because when he knew the truth, he acted on it. He acted on it. You know, if I knew a group of people and I was constantly teaching them, I think this is what I would say to them. Let's examine one thing. Let's find out what the scriptures say about it, and let's do it. Let's do it. Let's not try and do everything. Let's just do one thing. One thing. And that may be having a quiet time. That may be my attitude to the scriptures. That may be whatever it is. Just, and I would recommend that to you. I've been telling people that lately. Get hold of one thing and do it. If God speaks to you in the Word, for example, if He's spoken to you tonight, then you should be going home, you should search the Scriptures. How did Paul relate to this? How did Peter relate to this? What did those men do to keep away from evil? What did Isaiah do? All these people. Keep reading the Bible and find out, and then make a strong point in your life. You'll be blessed by God. You'll be a power in your generation. And you'll be for change. You'll be for change. And if you need an audience, all you have to do is turn around and look anywhere. Because most of us are ungirded. Most of us are traveling, but we're not going anywhere. Most of us are refraining, but we're not keeping. We're turning away from the darkness, but we don't turn to the light. That's a very, very important point. So I'll just finish with this thought that you have to have faith in God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But you really do have faith when your conscience has been sprinkled from evil works by the precious blood of Christ, where your conscience is cleansed. Now, I'm a man, I can tell you as a word of personal testimony, that I have real struggles in my life with the ways in which I have sinned or failed God. I struggle with that almost every day. Now, the point of that is that we have still got to say to God, I am refraining my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word, and I'm not going to listen to what I say about myself. I'm going to listen to what you say about me. I'm not going to define myself from the mouths of other people. I'm going to define myself from my relationship to Jesus Christ and His Word. Now, it's a struggle to do that, but that's what we should be doing. We really should be doing that. You cannot take your Christianity from your brother or your sister. You cannot take your lead, your spiritual lead, from anybody except the Lord. You've got to go to Him, and you've got to grow up into Him. Your teachers will be taken away from you. Your pastors will be gone. And you will be left there with the Word of God and the God of the Word. What are you going to do with it? Refrain your feet from every evil way. Listen, it's simple. Well, am I going to do that? No, I better not do that. Because if I do that, when I go to the place of prayer, I won't feel like praying. I better not go and talk to that lady, because every time I talk to her, I come away, I really feel angry and upset, and she somehow has a way of turning my mind away from God. So I'm going to keep away from her. I want to keep the Word of God. Now, if you start doing that, you may have few friends, but you'll have some good friends and some holy people around you. I have refrained my feet, my affections. Listen, if this is right, and I know it is, be careful of your affections. Be careful what you think. Do you know that I even have Christians that tell me, in thinking this and this, and I warn them, I say, sister, this is the wrong thing. Turn away from that. About 95% do not turn away from it. And then you've got to start organizing a rescue operation. And you know what? The point of this is that you must determine in your heart between you and God. Between you and God, not you and anybody else. Don't go home and say to somebody, oh, from now on, you young people, no, don't say to mum and dad, oh, no, don't say nothing. Do it. Do it. I was going to speak tonight on these words. When I was young, the words that the devil put into everybody's heart was, there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time. Well, I'm old now and I've run out of time. And there's not plenty of time. But you know what the Lord showed me the other day? This poor generation that we have to pray for. Do you know what they say? What's the use? What's the use? What's the use of being holy? What's the use of reading the Bible? No one else was reading it. What's the use of trying to live right? No one else is. What's the use? That's what people are saying. A husband and a wife. Something going wrong with them. One says, oh, what's the use of this? What's the use? This is the terrible word, and I know it's come from Satan. What's the use? Young people, you watch them kicking a can along the road. You say to them, well, why aren't you doing something? Well, what's the use of that? Why aren't you cleaning up the street? Look at this filthy street you live in. Why don't you clean? What's the use? Tomorrow it'll be dirty again. What's the use? In the school, why aren't you learning? What's the use? No one else in the class is doing it. Look at them. Why haven't you got a clean mouth? Clean mouth? What's the use? Everybody else is swearing all the time. They think, what's the use? And it's going on, isn't it? Am I right or wrong? I do believe that young people are saying that today. And Satan is telling it to us too. What's the use of seeking after God? You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. I read an amazing thing today. I was reading a magazine from the New Tribes Mission. They go to the completely unreached tribes in the world, of which there are hundreds that have never heard the gospel. And they go to people that are living right near the Stone Age, and they teach them about Jesus Christ. And this man had become a Christian, and he was following the Lord, and they were walking through the bush, and he had a pack on his back, and in it was a knife. And in the pack was a knife, and the knife somehow bumped through the pack and got him in the side and really cut him quite badly. So they had to rush him to medical assistance and so on. And you know, the missionaries were looking at this man and thinking, now how's he going to take this? How's he going to take this? You know what he said? He said, you know, Jesus suffered for me. And we are told, you tell us, to follow Jesus. Well, he was stabbed in the side too. And I am following him. And I thought, how wonderful, you know. He didn't say, what's the use, did he? Oh, I thought being a Christian I'd be protected by a battalion of angels. No. No, you'll never become an Apostle Paul like that. You've really got to get out there where the sinners are and suffer as they suffer. And then they will see that God makes a difference. So refrain your feet from every evil way. And as we go to prayer, let us pray honestly. Pray honestly. Tell the Lord what's in your heart. And cry out to God for those who have a real need, starting with yourself maybe, and the people that you really love. It's hard to be faithful, and it's hard to refrain your feet from every evil way to keep God's word. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Because the word of the Lord abides forever. Where's King Saul? Where's King Saul? Where are all those people that fought against David? We're not talking about them. We're talking about David, who was faithful to God. And when Jesus came, they called him the son of David. And he didn't say, no, I'm not the son of David. Don't talk to me like that. He accepted that title. So you see, there is some virtue and real spiritual good in staying on the path with God, however difficult it may be. The Lord bless you. Let us get to prayer. Amen.